praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is not narrow sectarianism, but the body of Christ. Through his messages in these life studies, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts. And we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. Remember the story of Jericho. For 6 days, the children of Israel, bearing the ark borne by the priest, marched around the fortified city of Jericho. No doubt as the inhabitants watched from the top of the city wall in sheer wonder at the strange behavior of this occupying force. And then on the seventh day, after the priests blew the trumpet, the people shouted. And it came about when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed everything in the city. And Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the harlot's house, and bring the woman and all she has out of there, as you have sworn to her." So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brothers, and all she had. They also brought out all her relatives, and placed them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire, and all that was in it. This was the experience of the children of Israel as they entered the good land of Canaan and conquered the first city that they encountered. Their only weapon was their voice. And their strength was not in their own might or valor, but in their absolute oneness with Jehovah, who was fully among them and fighting with them and even in them. Bob Danker has joined us for this wonderful fellowship from Joshua chapter 6. Welcome back to the program, Bob.
It's good to be back, Chris.
Quite a story, isn't it?
A marvelous story. Showing us how to fight the battle with the Lord and for the Lord.
Bob, we're going to see today again in the second segment of the program, but just to remind our listeners of the story of Rahab. We talked about it early on in the life study because we saw that in these books of history, key elements being highlighted were, number one, the gaining of the land, but also the producing of the right persons to bring forth Christ. And why don't you tell our listeners, for those who missed the story earlier on, a little bit about the story of Rahab and why she's such a significant figure.
Rahab is a significant figure because when we come to the New Testament, the first thing we encounter in the New Testament, of course, is the incarnation of Christ, the birth of Christ, which is just God himself becoming a man. And in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew writes the genealogy of this Christ. That means, who are his ancestors?
Mm-hmm.
That means, how did he come into the world? He came into the world through a certain genealogy. And one of the ancestors of Christ mentioned in this genealogy is Rahab the harlot.
Amazing.
Quite an amazing thing that a Gentile harlot from a city that was cursed by God would become a prominent ancestor of Christ. And included in the book of Joshua is the gaining of this woman out of that Gentile cursed place and out of her background,
right,
as a harlot,
right,
to become a person that God could use to bring Christ into this world.
Well, of course, we have the children of Israel are really in a condition of oneness with the Lord. That will become something very significant, not only in today's program, but also in tomorrow's. Their experience when they're in such oneness with Jehovah was quite glorious, as this story really demonstrates. This was a major city. Jericho was a fortified city, meaning that it had a protective wall all around the circumference of the city. And the king had witnessed the miracle of their crossing the Jordan River, where the waters were held back. And he realized Jehovah was with him. And even the scripture tells us he was afraid, didn't know what to do. So he sealed up the gates of the city. And so now this fortified city, they're all sealed up within, seemingly safe. And by now, of course, Joshua had sent these two spies earlier into the city. And that's when they first encountered Rahab, who hid them on the rooftop in the bale of flax or straw. And they gave her a promise that they would come back and that they would save her and all of her household for hiding them and protecting them, these two spies. So that's the story. And now the captain of the Lord of hosts has appeared before Joshua. The children of Israel are ready. Everything's ready. And this attack, so to speak, is about to take place. And that brings us to Witness Lee's first portion. So let's join him. And we'll be back to fellowship in a couple of minutes, Bob.
Everything was ready. The captain was there. They're ready. Would you please tell me, do the children of Israel need to fight?
No.
In crossing Jordan, they did nothing. God did everything. They just crossed. So, in the same principle, to attack and destroy Jericho, it didn't need children of Israel to do anything. But they have to do one thing, to believe in God and trust in God, to listen to God's instruction.
Amen.
Actually, the instruction from the captain of the army of Israel. Then they have to exalt Christ.
Amen.
To bear the ark.
Amen.
So they believed in God and trust in God and took the instruction from the captain that was Christ. And they went by bearing the ark. If you look at them at that time, they had nothing, no weapon, nothing. But in the front of the army, there was an ark. Look at them, nothing but an ark. And that is what, that is to exalt Christ.
Amen.
Now, we have to realize Jericho was the fortified city, but the king of Jericho heard what the Lord did. His heart melted, and he lost his spirit, the boldness, and he didn't know what to do. Just to shut up the gates, no going in, no going out, no traffic, just shut up the gate, using the entire wall to protect him and his people. He thought, you Israel, how could you cross the wall? You could cross the river of Jordan. Could you also cross the wall? He never thought what God would do.
Bob, in addition to being an interesting story, to me there's a very striking point here, and that is the contrast between what the children of Israel had put their trust in and what this king in the fortified city had put his trust in. Quite a stark contrast, isn't it?
Yes, the king in the city, of course, was trusting in his wall, the wall that he had built and the gates that he had shut to keep himself and his people safely inside. The children of Israel, on the other hand, seemingly had nothing, no weapons, nothing with which to fight this war and to knock down that wall. How could they possibly enter into that city and overthrow it? It was seemed to be humanly impossible. But the children of Israel fulfilled the requirements that we all need to fulfill in order to gain the victory in the spiritual warfare. First of all, they didn't trust in themselves.
Right.
They trusted in God. They believed in God. They were one with God through faith. They joined themselves to God, absolutely. And second of all, they did not fight this battle according to their own strategy. They didn't have a strategy. All they had was a captain. And all of them were one with this captain, physically Visibly, the captain was Joshua.
Right.
But invisibly, as we've already seen, the captain was Christ. So they simply took his word. They did what the captain told them to do without any opinions, without any dissenting at all. They simply followed their captain. And in this case, they followed Christ. This is a great lesson for us, right? Mm. Christ is our captain. And thirdly, the priests bore the ark in the front of the whole company of the people. The ark went and took the lead. That signifies that they exalted Christ. They gave Christ the preeminence. They made him the first. They made Christ everything to them. Because the ark in the Old Testament, we know, is a symbol or a type of Christ. So these were the three things that Israel did. Seemingly, they had no weapons, no strategy
right.
to gain the victory,
mm-hmm.
but they joined themselves to God by faith. They took the word of instruction from their captain, and they exalted Christ. This is a tremendous picture and a great lesson for us. This is the way to fight the spiritual warfare and to defeat the spiritual enemies.
Wow, what a marvelous picture and pattern that this is. As we consider all the episodes of warfare that we are called to join the battle in, that this kind of lesson or this pattern would be before us all the time. These matters are really the key to the strength in spiritual battle, aren't they?
That's right. This is a picture. Israel's experience here is a picture for us in the New Testament age, the New Testament believers, to know how to deal with the enemies so that we can take the land for God's purpose.
Well, in this coming segment, we're going to stay on this line a little bit and then also touch this matter of Rahab and how specifically Joshua instructs these two men that had gone in before as spies to go back in once the wall was to fall and retrieve this harlot, Rahab, to whom they had made the promise before, and all of her household. There's a very, very striking point associated with this that we want all of our listeners to be sure and be ready for, and maybe they'll pick it up in this segment just ahead. Here's Witness Lee once more.
God asked the army of Israel to bear the ark and another seven priests bearing the trumpet, not to blow it at their will. They have to wait till the commander-in-chief give them the command to shout and to blow the trumpet. So 7 days. The first 6 days, every day, the army of Israel with the ark, doing nothing, just walk around the city. I do believe while they were walking, a lot of people on the top of the wall look at Israel. What can they do? They had nothing. Once the first day, nothing happened. Then the second day, the same thing. And the third day, the same thing. Till the seventh day, which is the day of Sabbath. Actually, Israel didn't fight. Israel enjoyed the Sabbath. Enjoy the rest. Then this day became different. The commander-in-chief, the visible one, gave the command, shout! Then all the seven priests trumpeted, all the people shout. Just at the shouting, all the wall fell. So all the army of Israel, they walked straight away into the city, including that spy, Solomon. When the city wall fell, Solomon just walked into that house to rescue Rahab and her folks. God sent two spies to spy out the land, right? You have to know, in God's economy, that was not for the fighting. That was for the gaining of Rahab.
Amen.
That spying out of the land didn't help the fighting. Those were two things. Spying out. Nothing to do with the fighting. Actually, to destroy Jericho. There was no need of any fake.
Well, Bob, seemingly there are two points here, but actually they merge very nicely. The instructions were, and what the children of Israel carried out was, that 6 days they marched around. On the seventh day, which is significant, the seventh day, as we know in the Old Testament dispensation, very significant. It has a good type for us in our New Testament experience. So this is one of the points. Anyway, on the seventh day, they at the appropriate time, they all shout and the walls of the city collapse and the city is theirs. No fighting is necessary. No army really needed to invade anything because God had done so much. So then the question is, why had Joshua been instructed even in the first place to send spies into the city if Jehovah knew full well that there would never be that kind of battle? And that brings us to Rahab, doesn't it?
It certainly does. This is a tremendous point, actually. Since Israel did not have a military strategy of their own to defeat, overthrow this city, then it couldn't have been the spying out of the city by the two spies could not have been to develop such a strategy.
Right.
Because the people didn't have to fight. All they had to do is be one with God, to follow his instructions and exalt Christ and rest on the Sabbath day. It was actually on the seventh day that they actually took the city. That was the day of rest. That is a picture that God doesn't want us to do any work of our own. He simply wants us to rest and enjoy what he has done for us. This is a tremendous picture, isn't it? And by their following the instructions and doing what they were instructed to do, the city fell. So it seems there was no need for these spies to spy out the city in a military mission. Actually, as Witness Lee pointed out, the real reason for the sending of those spies is that God knew that in that city there was a woman that God had chosen to be a forefather, an ancestor of Christ. And that woman was not, in our eyes, not a good woman.
That's right.
She was a harlot. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a good background. She wasn't a righteous person. But she realized that God was with Israel. So she believed in God and joined herself to the people of God. God recognized this and acknowledged this, and God chose her and gained her through those two spies, through their mission, gained her to be an ancestor of Christ. So this shows, again, as you have mentioned before, God has two purposes, two goals here. One is to take the land for Christ, and the other is to gain the proper persons so that Christ could enter into the human race through incarnation.
My, oh my, what a picture. God was looking down the line of his eternal purpose and sees this Rahab that he knows would be one that would bring forth Christ, and hence the reason for the spies being sent out, not at all according to man's way, man's wisdom, the natural understanding, as you said, the natural strategy. This is really being played out in the divine and mystical realm, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's something absolutely divine. It's something that only God could do.
Bob, in this last portion, a short portion, but quite poignant, because there's an application now that I think will be helpful to all of our listeners of what we've heard today in a very real sense. So let's join Witness Lee for this, I think, important fellowship. That's a good capstone to our program today.
Today, in our spiritual warfare, the first thing we should do is to exalt Christ. Number two, to demonstrate to the people once a day for 6 days. You know, today, when we pick up the burden to visit the sinners, you have to realize every sinner is a fortified city. Every sinner is a cursed one. So you have to exercise your patience to go and surround him once a day. And you have to continue this surrounding 6 days, with six times. Then on the Sabbath day, you rest, and then you have to shout. You have to trumpet. Then that man's wall will fall. They slaughter all the demons. Then you've got that Jericho. You have to learn. Pick up a burden, then you go to visit him, it is better you walk around him and sit down, saying nothing. Farewell, goodbye, see you tomorrow. Then you will go again tomorrow and walk about him and sit in front of him, not saying anything. Then you go back the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, then the seventh day, you shout, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is the Lord.
Amen.
Christ the victor.
Amen.
How about this?
Amen.
Now you could say, is the water ready for you to be baptized? Think about it. Isn't this can work a Sabbath, a rest, an enjoyment?
Amen.
It is.
Bob, this is a wonderful word. I had an acquaintance a number of years ago who got saved just this way. He was a young man in turmoil, and a very godly man who had a burden for him would come to him every day, never said anything, never preached the gospel, never tried to help him through, you know, his spiritual struggle, and just became his friend. And day after day he would come. Finally, after a long time had progressed, the man turned to him one day and said, "What's holding you back from receiving the Lord Jesus?" And his response was, "Nothing." And they prayed together, and he got saved on the spot. And I just thought of that as I was listening to this story. This is really some wisdom here, isn't it?
Oh, it is really divine wisdom. What a picture. The taking of the city of Jericho applied here in the way of the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah.
Seeing the sinners, actually, really so, the sinners are like fortified cities. If we look at those fortified cities, we would never go to them to preach the gospel, because our feeling is surely they are not open. Surely they would never receive the Lord, right?
Right.
But if we take this kind of strategy to go to visit them, go to contact them, maybe the first six times we wouldn't say anything to them about the Lord. We just go to visit them. They know why we came. They know we have a heart for them.
Right.
They know we love them. They know we care for them. But we don't say anything. But then at the right time, when the captain gives the command,
we blow the trumpet.
We blow the trumpet. We announce, we proclaim Christ to them. Maybe in this kind of a way that you illustrated here, what now is preventing you from receiving the Lord? In a sense, there's no gospel preaching
the
there.
The wall's down, yeah.
The wall was already fallen.
Exactly.
So you just go in and you take possession of that Jericho, that fortified city. What a tremendous picture. I mean, it's marvelous.
It is. My wife has a coworker who is struggling also, and she's been praying for her so much and trying her best, and she was quite frustrated the other day, and I was having to be reading this message, getting ready for the program, so I sent it to her in an email. And she sent back quite a delighted response. So I think this has a great application to all of us as we approach our friends, our family, our coworkers, to really follow the captain and follow his command.
Exactly.
He knows the time, doesn't he, Bob?
He knows the time. He knows the way. Everything is in his hands. And if we are one with him, then we will gain the victory. We'll gain this person for the Lord.
Mm. Bob, I like these Old Testament books. The life studies are so rich when we touch these portions, and to see the people of God gaining the land and gaining the proper people to bring forth Christ. This really is a guiding principle throughout this book and many of these other books of history in the Old Testament. So a lot of light in these life studies from the Old Testament, isn't there?
Tremendous amount of light.
Thanks again for your help.
It's always a pleasure.
Well, our time is up. Let us leave you with our toll-free number. We'd like to have you contact us if it's convenient for you to receive these printed life study messages so that you can really have these valuable, profound unveilings of these Old Testament stories to see them in a way that has such a rich application to our Christian life today. The toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Or if you prefer, you can write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, or send email to radio@lsm.org. For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry.
The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the life study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own life study reading schedule or download more life study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.